The Kimmel Center really aims to be the hub of jazz in Philadelphia. This is a city that has a long history of the jazz community. I mean, some of the greatest jazz musicians ever lived here, Coltrane and Billie Holiday and others. One of the things that we think about in being the hub of jazz isn't just celebrating the jazz past of Philadelphia, but it's also about encouraging the future. What is the Philadelphia jazz sound moving forward? What will it be in 20 years? And we don't want to sit back and wait and see what happens. We want to help that happen. We want to usher that in. And that's really how this jazz residency was born. We launched this starting in the fall of 2013, so we're coming up on the end of our third year, with the eye towards how do we encourage jazz in the city. So we designed this program where we said, all right, we're going to invite jazz musicians to write new work, and we're only going to really set two real requirements. They have to be in Philly. You live in a suburban community, or you live, you know, relatively nearby, where we're going to consider you a Philadelphian because you're connected to the scene here.
So the Philly connection.
So you have to have a Philly connection, and you have to be able to show that you can write music. We're trying to foster composers and musicians. So that was basically it. We allowed them to work with any other kind of discipline they wanted. If you were a jazz musician who wanted to work with a dancer, great. If you were a jazz musician who wanted to work with a DJ from California.
How many people have you had go through the program? You're in the third year now.
So we're in the third year. We're working right now on our sixth and seventh project. Considering how many applications we got, it's a smaller percentage. But of course, what we're trying to do is really give them a lot of resources. So one of the other things I was hoping it would do is start to build the community. And so to adjudicate this, I knew that we wanted someone who was sort of outside this community so that they were just listening to it sort of objectively. So we brought in this country's best jazz experts. I brought in the head of jazz programming at the Kennedy Center. I brought in the head of education and community outreach from Jazz at Lincoln Center. SF Jazz in San Francisco participated, as did someone from the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra. You know, we brought in these really brilliant people in the jazz community, the head of composition at the Berklee College of Music, the head of jazz composition at Juilliard. These are who listened to all these applications. One of our things when we talked to this, the panel, we talked about who's going to benefit the most from this. We also really thought about who's going to grow the most from this, because that's the whole point here. So these magnificently talented jazz minds from around the country came, and not only did they help me pick which projects we would move forward with, but they listened to every application, which means, think about this. Here you are, a jazz musician in Philadelphia. You apply to this Kimmel program. You may not get it, because of course we can't accept everyone, but you would have been heard by the head of jazz composition at Juilliard. Now, that's something that Kimmel can really do to help promote the future of Philadelphia jazz. And this year, Corey Riker has been a fan of electronic drum and bass music. He was a DJ of it in college, and one of his careers after college, when he was trying to get work as a saxophone player, was on a cruise ship, and he would stay in his little cabin, because, of course, they put the lowest of the low, I think, are the people in the jazz band on a cruise ship. So they have these small rooms in the base of the boat, and he would have this small room with his laptop, right? And he would start to mix electronic drum and bass, and then think about how that connected to the saxophone he was playing. Well, that's been sitting with him, and he came to us and he said, I'm interested in writing jazz music, you know, with a rhythm section, right? Bass, drums, piano, and a saxophone that's inspired from electronic drum and bass, because that's dance music, and jazz is dance music. He's writing he's hoping an album of songs. He's hoping for 8 songs that are jazz compositions, they're original jazz compositions, but they borrow ideas of sampling from electronic music. They're interested in the rhythms and the harmonies that are come out of electronic music, which are different, and he's looking at that. The other project is with Kendra Butler, who's a pianist, and Shamika Bird, who's a vocalist. And their project, they came to us, they said, you know, we're really interested in sacred music and spirituals and in church sounds, and the history of that in this country, and writing a thing we'd like to call sacred jazz. You know, what is the intersection of jazz and faith? Faith is a big part of public life. Jazz is supposed to be the music of the people and of public life, and in this country, you know, it's an American art form. So they looked at spirit. They're looking. I mean, they're writing it as we speak. They're looking at spirituals. They're looking at music that came over from immigrants and slaves. They're looking at rhythms that came up the Mississippi River, and they're looking at church, and they're looking at these things and writing jazz music from that.
It seems like when it comes to the public performances, there are 3 components. You have to have tickets, but they're free. that seems to be an important part of this.
I don't call them tickets so much as reservations. Like you're sort of reserving a seat because it's free and very popular. We found that we needed to find a way to people to RSVP, as it were.
It's in the Innovation Theater.
SEI Innovation Studio down in the Kimmel Center. And then, so they do the public workshop, and they get to hear some music. Some of it's already been written. Most of it's not their new work. It's just their point of view as an artist. So you get to hear their story, essentially. The next component in this process, which is also free, is what we call the work in progress, where they're going to play the music they're writing. And then they're going to let the public have feedback. And the feedback, you know, you never know what you're going to get, right? That's part of the joy. Sometimes the public asks some serious questions about, have they thought about this rhythm, or have they listened to this artist, or why did they make this particular choice? And then the artist gets to talk about that. You know, that's what we're looking for. So that's the work in progress. Then the artists take that feedback from the public, and they have a whole month to take that feedback and really finish their writing. And
why is this particularly important for jazz musicians?
It feels to me that we're putting all of the work on their ability to juggle jobs and, you know, their lives and be a musician. And one of the things I'm trying to do is, with this commission, is just give them some time and resources to write music. Because if they don't have that, it's hard to write. And that's true with all artists. But it's particularly true in the jazz community, because I didn't see anybody who was regularly commissioning jazz work. And that's a whole thing. And it's part of my whole vertical approach to jazz at the Kimmel Center. So we're bringing in Whit Marsalis, and we have a program for three-year-olds, and we have teenagers learning, and we're doing free jam sessions, and we're commissioning new work. And that starts to be a tapestry, which really allows the art form to flourish, really allows the public to hear different sides, to hear musicians at different stages in their career, to do this with their kids, with their loved ones, with their parents. It's a lot of different opportunities. It's a price point for everyone, because a lot of it's free. So, you know, we're trying to address accessibility issues. The music comes from all different ideas and energies, because we allow the artist to lead that. And then that starts to be what the hub of jazz really means. And that's our goal here.
Jazz has gone so many different directions, and you kind of alluded to the fact that it doesn't really... The real criteria have to do with... the ability to compose. It's not like you're fostering some particular kind of jazz at all.
That's a great question, because that's something that, as a curator, I struggle with. That's the ongoing discovery process. I don't think my goal is to tell you what jazz is. And if you're a musician or an audience member, you're going to have ideas about that. And some things are going to click for you and some things are not. And I think we'll have audiences come to projects and think, oh, I don't know if I think that's jazz. Or, yes, it's exactly what I hear. That's okay. And, you know, the panel, when we adjudicate this, we have that debate. It's pretty healthy. I certainly have my taste of what jazz I like, but I don't think it's actually important to impose that. I think it's quite opposite. It's more important for me to kick open doors of possibility.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.